to be back here. I've been here many times in the past and certainly love this church and certainly love your pastor and his family. And what a wonderful way to celebrate 175 years by coming together to sing, to pray, and to preach and hear the gospel proclaimed. I would like to direct your attention to the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, and would like to begin reading with verse 8. Would like to title the message this evening, Behold Your God. Notice with me in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, beginning with verse 8. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. We'd like to pause at verse 11. It's so good to meet out on a Thursday night. I thought for a moment it was a Friday night, but it's Thursday night. What a wonderful privilege it is to meet out. The term that I hear so often today by young and old alike is that I am just overwhelmed, that I am just stressed. Is there anybody here tonight that doesn't have stress and anxiety? And many times, I'll be honest with you, I am overwhelmed. We live in a broken world. Everything that's wrong today in the world is as a result of sin. God created all things in six 24-hour days. He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. In the book of Genesis, chapters 1 and 2, after God created all things, he created man on the last day. He created man out of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And then God said, I can do better than that. And he created the woman. Well, that's not exactly what it says, but the women will appreciate that. God did create man out of the dust of the earth. And he said, it's not good for man to be alone. And he created Eve and brought her unto him. Everything was good. And not only good, it was very good. It was perfect. And then we come to Genesis chapter 3, and everything that was good and perfect is now broken. And you can read from Genesis chapter 4 all through the entire Bible, and you'll find that we see the results of sin. We're broken. Our world is broken. And thank God tonight for Jesus. And that's why I'm here tonight. I want to remind you to focus on Christ. I have a problem with my left eye and have had it for many, many years. It jumps off focus. And especially this time of the night after a busy day, I have to work very, very hard to keep focus, even in reading, because that eye will jump off focus. I wear eyeglasses, as you can see, and in these glasses I have prisms, and they help me to stay focused. Well, tonight it is so easy to get off focus in this life. We're all busy, and like I said a few moments ago, we're overwhelmed with life, and many times in the busyness of life, I find that it's hard sometimes just to be still, isn't it? It's hard to be quiet. In the book of Psalm chapter 46 and verse 10, here God says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." So tonight, each one of us, we need to be reminded on a daily basis. One theologian said years ago that he preached the gospel to his people every week because they forgot it every week. And then he said, "I preach the gospel to myself every day because I forget it every day." And see, tonight, I'm not here to preach anything new to you. I know you have wonderful preaching week after week, but I'm here to remind you. The Apostle Paul said, "I am set for the defense and for the confirmation of the gospel." Most of the time when I go preaching, I'm not there to necessarily defend the truth. I'm there to confirm, to remind you of these wonderful gospel truths that you've heard over and over and over again. This church is celebrating 175 years. There's been a lot of change in 175 years. Would you agree? I'll tell you, you're not the original pastor, are you? I'll tell you, we all change. We live in a changing world, don't we? I mean, the change is just absolutely phenomenal. You know, in the book of Malachi, he says, "I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." The book of Hebrews chapter 13, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And even though we live in a world of perpetual change, our world changes, our circumstances change, we change, we get older. My friends, the God of the Scriptures, He never has changed. He began here in the book of Isaiah. The first verse that I read was, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Aren't you thankful that God's word does not change? God does not change. He says, "I am the Lord, I change not." He is the great I am. Remember when God had called Moses to deliver the nation of Israel out of Egyptian bondage? Moses goes down and God says to Moses, he tells him that he's going to send him to deliver his people. And Moses says, "Who shall I say hath sent me?" And God says to Moses, "Say that I am, that I am, hath sent thee." Now tonight, when I say I am, it doesn't mean very much. But when God said I am, He is saying that I am the self-existent one. I am self-sustaining. All through the Old Testament, we see that Jesus Christ is actually given in type and shadow. And He says in the book of Malachi, "I am the Lord, I change not. therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. We get to the New Testament and Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. He goes in the book of Revelation, it even says, he says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the end, that is, that which was, that is to come, the Almighty. In other words, he's saying, everything that you need, I am that what you need in every circumstance of life. Tonight, do you see God as being the one that occupies the throne? Do you see him as the one that's described here in the book of Isaiah? Notice again the language. He says, O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid, say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. I have people to say many times today, I just don't know what to do. Have you ever been in that position? That you just didn't know what to do? In the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, there's a man by the name of Jehoshaphat. And the enemy is on every side. I mean, there's one enemy after another. And to summarize that chapter real quickly, Jehoshaphat comes to the point. He says, Lord, we know not what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Today, do you need direction? Do you need direction in life? Maybe tonight I'm speaking to someone that's just overwhelmed with life. Maybe the bottom's dropped out. Maybe it seems like it's one trial after another. And it seems like the battles are on every side. But just like what God said to Jehoshaphat, he says, behold, he says, the battle is the Lord's. My friends, when you look to the God that's described here, not only in Isaiah, but throughout the Bible, when we really realize our weakness, it's in our weakness that we really learn his strength. Did you know that most of us, if you're honest, when have you learned the sufficiency of God? Has it been when you're on the mountaintop? Has it been when you had money in the bank and your blood pressure was down and all your children were behaving and everything was going great at church and you were just on the beach and you were watching the waves hit on the shore and you were just having the time of your life? No, it's usually in the valley when we come to the end of ourselves because, friends, I'm telling you, you won't know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. And God can use the circumstances of life to knock the props out. He can bring us down low. We can see our weakness and we can see his strength. The Apostle Paul said, when I am weak, then am I strong. Have you been there? Yeah. When you come to the end of yourself, God knows where you are tonight. He knows everything about you. God is sovereign. He is the sovereign creator. He upholds all things by the word of his power. Notice some of this language. Tonight, are you anxious? Are you worrying about
things in our world tonight? Are you worrying about the governments? Look what God says about himself through the prophet Isaiah. He says, "Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him?" Did you know God did not need any counsel? No one's given him any advice. He hasn't needed any advice. He says in verse 15, "Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket." Think about it. The nations are as a drop in a bucket. Not a bucket full, but just a drop of water. He says, "And are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing." He says all the nations. How many nations are there? I don't know, about 195 maybe, close to 200. He said all the nations combined are like a drop of a bucket. They're like the small dust on the balance, on the scale. Now, a chemist, while doing sophisticated experiments, before they weigh a particular thing, they may wipe the dust off, hadn't they? But now when you go down to the local grocery store and you buy produce or whatever, do you say to the person, "Oh, wait a minute, before you weigh that, make sure you wipe the dust off. Get the dust off." No. And yet what God is showing here is how great he is. Notice he says, "All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity." Oh, there's so many wonderful, wonderful lessons. Let's skip down to verse 26. He says in verse 26, here it is again. He says, "Lift up your eyes on high." What's the title of the message? Behold your God. Tonight, lift up your eyes. He says, "Lift up your eyes on high and behold who hath created these things. That bringeth out their hosts by number, he calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth." My friends, God is so big, even in our one galaxy, NASA has estimated that there are between 200 and 400 million stars. And there actually, according to NASA, there are billions of galaxies. Now, just in our one galaxy, if there's just 200 billion stars, and you think about the other many, many galaxies, if you multiply all of that together, that's a lot of stars, isn't it? But did you know that God knows every star? Did you know tonight that God is a big God, and he planned before the world began to save a multitude? If I were to ask you tonight who saved you, what would you say? Would you say, "I saved myself"? Anybody here tonight would say, "I saved myself"? No, I don't know if anybody would be that arrogant and say, "I saved myself." Most people will say, "God saved me." Let me ask you another question. If you say God saved you, let me ask you this question. Did he do it on purpose? Well, you believe in predestination. God beforehand determined the destination of his people. Even before the world began, he says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there's none else. I am God and there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. My friends, before the morning of time, God determined the destination of his people, not just a few, but a multitude more numerous than the stars in heaven and the sand by the seashore. Jesus Christ came as the good shepherd in the fullness of time. He laid down his life. He shed his blood. He purchased them. He redeemed them. And somewhere between conception and death, every one of God's children shall be called effectually by the Spirit of God. And in that final day when Jesus Christ comes back, he's going to say to the Father, behold, I and the children which thou hast given me, and not one heir of promise missing.
Amen.
All because of his love and his purpose. Think about that tonight. How blessed we are. Lift up your eyes. Do you see these wonderful truths? What a blessing. I preached, not at Mount Gilead, not all members there, but I'm in a community where a lot of people know me, and I've already preached, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 funerals this year. Death is coming to all of us. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I think about the aged Simeon. It had been prophesied that Simeon would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. Think about in the temple how many babies Simeon must have looked at. They'd bring a baby in and Simeon would look at that baby and he'd say, no, no. But when Jesus was born and Mary and Joseph went to the temple and the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, born in poverty, when she went into the temple, Simeon looked at that baby, 8 days old. He says, now let us, thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. If you'll tell me tonight what Simeon was looking at, I'll tell you where salvation is. He wasn't looking at church membership. He wasn't looking at any works of men. He was looking at a person. He says, now lettest thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. What a blessing it is to come down to the end of life and to know it's not in myself. I'm the chief of sinners, but I have a great Savior. Sometimes in life we get our eyes off focus. Later in this same passage, notice what he said. He says, why sayest thou, O Jacob? Let me go back for just a moment. I was speaking about the number of the stars. The 200 billion times 200 billion, all the billions of galaxies. God says all of that. And then did you know that in Psalms chapter 147 and verse 4, he says, he telleth the stars. What does that word tell mean? We got bankers here. What do? You go down to the bank and the teller does what? Counts your money. That's right. You know, how much or how little. You go down and they tell the money. How much money you got? He says in Psalm 147, he telleth the stars. Does God know how many stars there are tonight? He does. And it's even better than that. He says he calleth them by their name. I was at the hospital. I was actually getting out of my car, going up to the hospital, and this guy, a young guy, was driving by in this new-looking pickup truck, and he said, Mr. Brantley. And I walked over to the window, and he began to tell me one thing or another. He said, my mother had a heart attack last night. And I said, how old is your mother? And I was asking all these questions, not that I didn't care, but I was trying to figure out, who is this? I said, how old is your mother? He said, well, she's 53. So I thought, oh, this is one of my children's classmates, or maybe I've done their wedding or something. I don't know. And then I asked him another question. And do you know, that was on Monday, and I haven't figured out yet that young guy's name. Now, what do you think? How would you like to think that's the way God operates with us? You know, that we're just, you know, we get sort of lost in the shuffle of the papers. You know, we're just one of many. And see, that's maybe, I'm speaking to somebody tonight, and that's how you feel. Notice what he says here. After that, he says, and why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? In other words, does God really see? You ever felt that way? Does God really see? Does God really know where I am? And even, does God really care? Is he blind to what I am going through? Don't you like, or I should say, we don't like to, when we ask a question, to be asked a question, do we? But after he said all of this, notice what God says, or Isaiah says. He says, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? Listen carefully now. I know it's getting late. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that hath no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Behold your God. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, maybe tonight you're saying, I'm just overwhelmed. God does not faint. He's not weary. He knows exactly where you are. We live in a time when young people are facing more difficulties than ever before. And not only young people, but every age. Today, what do we need? We need to be reminded, wherever you are tonight in life, whatever problem you're facing, young or old, you need to be reminded, behold your God. He fainteth not, neither is he weary. He giveth strength. When you come to the end of yourself, you will be at the beginning of his strength. Change and decay and all about I see. 175 years here at this church, been a lot of change, been a lot of decay. Change and decay in all about I see, but thou who changest not, abide with me. I thank you for your wonderful attention, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.